Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, Hour 3, 9:04 on the clock. Your host, James J. Mailoff here, and I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Fun stuff coming up this hour. Some entertainment news, some That I Write stories, good stories of the day, all that coming up. Right now, what are our favorite holiday smells?
Fresh baked cookies.
Yep. Right away popped in my head. Immediately yep. popped in my head. My mom used to do what a lot of parents do, what a lot of people did, giving out cookies for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Didn't really have a lot, but people just loved her cookies. And everybody had their like favorite kind, like snickerdoodles or this kind or whatever. So she'd make, we'd have like about four or five card tables out and like eight different types of cookies. And this woman would just like a bakery, just go to town. And it was one of my, it's just one of my favorite memories when she would do this year after year, just making and the care she would put into these packages to give to people and everything. And of course, the cookies that my sister and I and my brother could steal.
Because there were so many, they didn't even notice that 10 of them were gone.
I thought so, at least. That's what I thought. I have come to find
Until
out.
She was divvying up the plates.
Yeah, I have come to find out recently that my mom knew we were doing this, so she would make more cookies.
Make extra.
Yeah, yeah. Really thought I was getting away with something for years there.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't really work that way, James.
No, our moms always know.
They do.
Thanksgiving is over, so it's straight into Christmas news. An early Christmas poll asked people to rank their favorite holiday smells, and we're going to get into these. Now, this is a little suspicious because there's some interesting things here. The poll was done by a group called the Real Christmas Tree Board. but the rank, so I'm not sure what that is. I want to look into that a little bit more, actually. But so let's look through these. Let's see what we got here. Let's see if cookies end up on the list. We'll start at the bottom. We'll start at number eight.
Okay.
Number eight, chestnuts.
The smell of chestnuts.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if I've smelled that or not.
I mean, you know, it's the song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. But who does that anymore?
I don't know for many how many other people can say this or feel this way or not, but the voice of Christmas for me is Nat King Cole.
Yes.
It always is. So you're absolutely right. First thing that, as soon as I didn't even finish the word chestnuts, and I had his voice in my head. Yeah.
Right. But I don't think I've ever smelled a chestnut.
Me neither. I really don't think I feel like, I had to have, but now the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know if I have or not. Mm-hmm. Number seven, fire burning in the fireplace.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Wood smoke. Yep.
Now that one's more just the smell of winter to me.
Yes, in some ways. It smells like home. Mm-hmm. Because when I was growing up, we always had wood heat in our house. Mm-hmm. And then my mom had a actual cook stove in her kitchen for a number of years. And then she got rid of that and put in a wood stove. So it smells like home. It smells like just warmth and comfort. And that does make you think about family time and Christmas.
Yeah, same here. When we first moved up here, my Nana Papa had a fireplace, and I'd never been around a fireplace, really. My grandmother and grandfather had one in Illinois, but I don't remember it being on very often. So to us, we just thought this was amazing, you know? my sister and I, we thought the fireplace was so cool.
Fire inside? Whoa.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it smelled and felt so good, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number six, peppermint.
Yeah, that's definitely a very Christmas smell.
Oh, very. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought about it, though, to be honest. I wouldn't have thought of it right away, but yeah.
Besides cookies, the first two things that popped in my head were peppermint and pine.
Oh, cool. Number six, gingerbread. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I don't even know if I see gingerbread outside of December.
Pretty much no. Like ginger snap cookies I'll see outside of Christmas time, but gingerbread itself, and like gingerbread houses and that kind of stuff. Although we still do need to make a gingerbread house out of Pop-Tarts. I think.
Oh, yes. Yes. 100 times. The only, I don't know if I can be in on the construction of that one, though. I really like Pop-Tarts. Yeah,
but you know what? You're going to need a window, and you're going to need, you know, edges trimmed off. So you'd be useful for cleaning up the extras.
Well, when I first started in construction when I was a kid, I was a runner. I would measure things and run them up to people and all that. So I could probably, maybe I could do that for the Ginger House. You know, I could take there a couple bites off of a piece if you need it, and I could...
We need this trimmed by a third on the upper left corner, James.
I got it. I'm on it. Measuring
but no
it
teeth
out.
Marks.
Yeah, measuring it out and everything. Number four on the list, a classic, hot chocolate.
Yes. That reminds me of sledding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you come in from sledding, you want to have a hot chocolate. That's
snowball fights, making a snowman.
And
all
you're exhausted
of those.
And soaking wet.
There's something about hot chocolate that just, it makes everything like warm and better.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon, number three on the list, big time.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose.
Now, this is the only one that I can think of on the list where it's not just the season, but like all year round, I'll smell cinnamon. And it doesn't always make me think of necessarily Christmas, but I like the smell. And it is something it's year round is a smell that you have. Some of these other ones you don't have that year round. You're not drinking a lot of hot chocolate in July. You're not.
Not usually, unless you like hot chocolate in your coffee.
Yeah, sure.
The cinnamon actually makes me think more of Thanksgiving than Christmas.
Huh. Any reason, or?
I don't know. I guess I think cinnamon, Thanksgiving, peppermint, Christmas.
Makes sense.
Divvy up your spices some way.
That adds up. That adds up. That's great.
They do. They go well together, too.
Number two, cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, definitely.
I think it's funny that gingerbread and cookies are separated, because gingerbread is a cookie.
Yeah.
It's not bread.
When else do you have gingerbread but other than in cookies? Like, it seems a little nitpicky there. Mm-hmm. And usually they do this because they like they got to have 10, you know. So they fudge one of them to get to the round out to 10. There's only 8 on this list. I feel
they
like
needed to not have 7.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. And number one, Christmas trees. 56% of us said it's one of their favorite holiday smells.
There's the pine.
Yeah. Pine. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I think almost every season I have a smell of a tree attached to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe that's not as accurate because I was thinking actually it's not accurate because I was thinking in the summer, like the smell of cut grass.
Okay.
In the fall, the smell of the leaves.
Yeah. And then the spring, the smell of the flowers on the trees.
Yes, yes.
And winter, you have the pine. But I would argue that the smell of grass is not that far removed from the smell of trees. I always was accused in my teenage years that I liked things that smelled like a bush. Because we'd go to Bath and Body Works and I would gravitate toward, you know, like fresh cut grass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things that are like rain air, earthy things.
Yes,
but I don't know why my friend Deanne always said, you just like things that smell like a bush. Okay. You're not wrong.
What
but
can you do with that? Yeah. How can you counter that? Like, okay, I guess I do.
I like the earth. Okay.
You got me. I'm a fan of the earth.
So the only Black Friday shopping my boyfriend and I did is that he stocks up on soap at Bath and Body Works because they have their buy one get one free sale on Black Friday. So he had gotten what he wanted. He's like, well, should we stock up on some like just bathroom hand soap because they have this great sale, so you can get a $7 to $9 bottle of soap for free, you know, buy one get one, so they're only, you know, $4, $5, $5 whatever. So he made me pick them out. They're all tree scents. Got mahogany, balsam, spruce, cedar. I did get 2 that were different. Ocean, rain.
That is awesome. Hey,
it still holds up.
I'm sure it does. And that's what you, I mean, to be fair, you know, that's kind of what you get.
You like what you like.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go to break, I did want to take a quick look as we're going to get you ready and get into an entertainment segment when we come back, taking a look at our schedule for the week here. Of course, when Mel and I are done hanging out, we will get into Morning Magazine to kick off the week. Casey Nemeth is going to join us, Caregiving Support Coordinator with the ADRC. Looking forward to talking with Casey. And in part two, we'll talk to Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council, Eric Brittenocker, Director of the Performing Arts Center, and Ted Vigil, who is going to be joining us for the Rocky Mountain Christmas coming up with the Arts Council.
Oh, good.
It's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to that. A little bit later tonight, it is a ball night on all of our stations here at WFHR. Tip-off at 7 for Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Wake Forest. Then on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI, at 7:06, our coverage will begin for Lincoln High School's basketball as they are taking on Appleton West. Randy and Don on the call. You know it's going to be good with those two.
Oh, yeah.
And taking a look at Morning Magazine for the week, on Wednesday, in part two, we're going to welcome in Catherine Eckelhart. She is the new director over at McMillan Memorial Library.
Nice.
We have not gotten to talk to Catherine yet. I cannot wait to talk to her. I've heard nothing but good things and really intrigued by getting a chance to get to know her a little bit better and our audience to get to know her.
Yeah, that's exciting.
On Thursday, MSTC Mid-State will be in with us. We'll have Alisa Sullivan in. We'll talk with her. And then in part two, we will have an Allison Johnjack from the University of Extension Wood County. Talk about Allison is the cranberry outreach specialist over there. So we're talking cranberries.
Nice.
On Friday, State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug will join us. Looking forward to talking with Scott.
Oh, good. Hopefully he'll have some updates for you.
And in part two, we wrap up the week of Morning Magazine talking to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. The Miracle on 34th Street crew is going to be with us. Director Susan Egrin, Andy Kleckler, Chris Williams, Linda Garski, all going to be in studio with us.
Awesome. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a really fun week. We got some great guests lined up. A big shout out to Pam Hilke and the fantastic work she does there.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pam.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with some entertainment news and more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:18 on the clock. Didn't get me that time, clock.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, gotcha that time.
Every time but once today.
One time. That one time, though.
Let it go, James. Don't make me sing at you.
Well, you know, I could feel bad, but then I look at Mariah Carey and I don't feel as bad.
Oh.
That's our first entertainment story. If you consider yourself, quote, the queen of Christmas to the point where you believe you should actually own the title legally, then
really?
you should probably be able to remember the lyrics to the most famous song, the reason why you're calling yourself this.
Oh, wow.
Mariah Carey recently made a lot of noise when she wanted to legally claim herself as the Queen of Christmas. A lot of people came out of the woodworks and said, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. And she was not able to do it. So that was that part of it. But then this happened. Mariah Carey may have, and more than likely, cheated when she sang All I Want for Christmas Is You at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. Someone who was there in person posted a TikTok where you can clearly see a big screen with the lyrics scrolling as she sang, or pretended to sing, if you will. A spokesperson for Macy's said the screen was there so the audience could sing along, but it was never shown during the broadcast. In fact, Mariah was the only person who could see the screen. So the argument can be made that they were hiding it. There are other explanations, though. Some people on Twitter claim that the screen was a fail-safe in case Mariah's in-ear monitor failed. Many musicians do that. So she didn't lose the where her place was. Or it could have been for the dancers so they didn't lose their place.
Yeah.
But if I did not see the broadcast. My mom was watching it and I asked her about it. And right away, like before I could even finish, she's like, oh, yeah, she was lip syncing.
Of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, this isn't a typical performance or anything. It's,
no.
You know, a parade.
They're in a parade.
I hate lip syncing, but I think that there's a reason for it. And there are times, and I'm not a Mariah Carey fan, but I'm not trying to come to her defense. But, you know, we have to be honest about these things, too. And if you're going to call somebody out, do it for the right reasons. Don't just call somebody out just because you don't like them. I think that you can see both sides of this. But I keep coming back to this, though. You can't be calling yourself the Queen of Christmas and not know your own song, because this isn't the first time this happened with her. This has happened a number of times over the recent years where she does not seem to know not only this song, but the lyrics to any of her songs. Now, Mel, maybe you can, and I don't want to put this on you, I'm just saying maybe you can speak to this better than I can. I'm not a singer. I haven't sang much in public. Not even like I've done a little bit of karaoke stuff, you know, and I don't count that. Yeah. That there are certain people that go all in on karaoke that I would count, not people like me that just do it when you're drunk and you're just having fun with your friends and everything.
Yeah.
I've sang in plays, but as like a chorus, I've never had a solo or anything like that. As an entertainer, I can say, well, I've had like monologues where I have three different dialects I got to hit in there while I'm doing finding my blocking and doing a dance move. I've had to do that before. And that took a lot of training, a lot of work for me to do. Singers do this every single concert. They go out there and they sing and they have to know where their place is and all that and all these different things. It does seem understandable that somebody could be in that position.
It does because, singing, like acting, you have to memorize, you have to know where you're at, you have to follow the music, all of these factors come into it, plus the performance part of it. You have an audience in front of you. I don't fault her too much for having a screen. I think it's fine. And also, I really can't fault her for not wanting to keep those song lyrics in her head for as many years as she's been doing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to just let some of that go sometimes.
We can speak to this, you especially, in the last month or so. When you finish a play, no matter how much you loved it, no matter how great it felt, no matter how much you still wish you could perform another show or a show after that, it feels so good to not have to go over your book and not have to go over your lines, to have that break.
I got to go to the library, James.
Yes.
I allowed myself to check out other books.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the current one, I just won because it's 750 pages long. But, you know, I have time to read for pleasure as opposed to, no, I have to go over my script. I have to memorize.
I've done this to myself since I was a kid. The first couple of days after a show, I'm still picking up my script and going over my lines, and it takes me a minute to realize, oh, yeah, I'm crazy. Why am I doing this? I don't have to do it anymore. But once I finally get to that breaking point where I'm done and I don't pick it up anymore, oh, it is such a nice feeling. And I've never done a show that I didn't, or a part that I didn't, with a character I wanted to say goodbye to. It's never easy, but it does help when, you know, you have that part of it.
Yeah, can go back to some of your other likes and things you want. But I don't befault singers for not having their words down pat all the time.
Yeah, especially an artist that has multiple albums and that kind of thing. I think it's understandable.
But there are other people that deserve more the title of Queen of Christmas.
That's nicely done, because that's what I wanted to get. That's the thing I have a problem with, actually. Trying to copyright that legally and everything, so it's like literally, in, you know, like if you say Mariah Carey's name, you have to say Mariah Carey, Queen of Christmas. Like, that's a little insane to me.
A little bit.
And
she's not royalty.
And false.
Right.
If I think of the Queen, if I had to say who the Queen of Christmas is, Dolly Parton.
Sure. Or the two that have been associated with the title too, Darlene Love, Elizabeth Chan.
Good names. Good names. And great references. I mentioned Nat King Cole earlier. I know he's not a woman, so you'd say the King of Christmas, and that kind of fitting, I suppose, in some ways. But, there's so many, there's no wrong answers, except for Mariah Carey. Except, I'm just teasing. But I do like that as a poll. Who's the Queen of Christmas? That's a fun one. And speaking of Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton recently told the Tennessean, one of the greatest names for a newspaper there is. That's a great name. She told the Tennessean that she's opening a museum in Nashville within the next few years. It'll be part of a larger complex that she's calling Dolly Center, which might include a restaurant or a bar and grill. Dolly says this new museum would be in addition to her museum at Dollywood.
Cool.
I imagine that when they created Dollywood, they probably had some room for her, the rest of her career, but I don't think anybody could have imagined, including Dolly herself, especially as humble as she comes across, that, you know, her career would keep going and keep adding to it and everything. So you probably do got to put a new wing on the museum with all the stuff that's gone on since Dollywood opened up and everything.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I like museums, and I you know, I think they're cool, and I like Hall of Fames. I find them interesting. Anything really that ties history into some of these things. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I've never really thought about going to any of these places, and I honestly have never even thought about whether I would or I wouldn't go to Dollywood. Just you know, pressing the question in my head right now, I'd definitely go. I'd check that out.
Yeah. Drop of a hat.
I think it would be kind of cool to just, you know, take a walk through there and everything. And I've always wanted to go to Tennessee.
It's a beautiful state.
It seemed like it'd be fun. I can't think of a lot of other things. I know that the Elvis is like, you know, Graceland.
Right. Outside. But then you have the entirety of Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. See, now that's what I would do. I'd be going there and I'd check out Dollywood or whatever, and then I'd just be hanging out in Nashville and Memphis and just check out all those areas.
Right.
Yeah, that's that is definitely on my bucket list. I got to do that. That sounds like fun, though. And just taking a quick look at what is new on your TV tonight. The Voice has their top 10 eliminations. There is an hour-long special, The Laughter and Secrets of Love Actually, 20 Years Later. They get the cast together from Love Actually. That is going to be at 7 o'clock tonight on ABC.
I could see a lot of people tuning in for that because that movie got a pretty big following.
Yeah, I didn't. So it's so interesting to me the cult following movies get, and that you of all the things that you can predict, you know, box office success or failure or this or that. The one thing that the industry will never be able to predict is what's going to make Rocky Horror Picture Show more popular 30 years later than what it was when it came out.
Right.
What makes a movie Love Actually, with a celebrated movie that did pretty well, but it wasn't a box office huge success. It wasn't like Star Wars or something like that or anything. What makes these movies so loved by people? It's very interesting. There's a lot of cool like data and science that goes to it, and that is one of the bigger casts too. They got a really good cast with that movie.
They got a stellar cast.
And I have a class. I have two classes tonight, but I am going to find time to watch the CMT Crossroads. It features Robert Plant and Alison Krauss tonight at 8 o'clock on CMT.
Oh, really?
I got to check that out.
I love that. Those two together are great.
Man, they sound it. So my house, my mom and dad owned the stereo, and they have their music that they love. And you know, as a family, there were certain bands that not all of us liked. But Led Zeppelin was one of those bands where all of us like Led Zeppelin. All of us listen to Led Zeppelin from the 1 year old. I've been listening to them. Robert Plant is like the definition of a showman to me, of a lead singer of a band. And all I can think of when I think of Robert Plant is working with Jimmy Page and Bonzo, all the band, you know? But man, if I don't, when I think of Robert Plant now, if I don't think of Alison Krauss right next to that, it's like a 1A, 1B. They've been working together so long, and you're so right, Melissa. They sound so good together. It is kind of funny to me when I hear some people say, man, Robert Plant, he's really good, but where's he been all these years? Why hasn't he been? The people that don't know he was the lead singer of Led Zeppelin and stuff. It's funny.
Yeah.
And the animated holiday special Reindeer in Here is on at 8 o'clock on CBS tonight. I don't know anything about it, but a new holiday special. That's kind of interesting.
Okay. A Christmas friend.
It's kind of interesting. And that is what's new on your small screen tonight. We will take a break, but before we do, want to encourage you to get your tickets for the upcoming holiday production from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Miracle on 34th Street. It premieres December 9th. It'll be going on 9th, 10th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. 7 o'clock shows for all those. On Saturday, December 17th, they will also have a 2 o'clock matinee. And we encourage you to go to wrctheater.org to get those tickets. And be sure to be listening to Morning Magazine this Friday at 10:30 when we have the cast on and we'll talk about the show.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Melissa's News now. We'll come back and have some more fun with That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:37 on the clock, getting into the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you all are having a great one out there. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. We've got some fun stuff to take you to the top of the hour. And we got a That Ain't Right story to kick things off. Melissa, do you have a go-to board game or a favorite board game that you love to play?
Oh, I've really been enjoying Ticket to Ride. Sorry, I had to turn around and look at what it was called.
I don't know if I know that one.
It's a train game. So it's and they have multiple different maps, but the original one was a map of the United States, and then they have different stations in cities all the way across the state, and you have to draw cards and then complete routes.
I like it.
With trains. It's fun. It's a really fun game because it's simple, but there's definitely a strategy.
Yeah.
Because other people can take your route between two cities, and if you can't complete between there, you have to go around that to complete your route.
Interesting.
Have Europe, and they have the Nordic countries, and they have, I think there's even an Asia, and there might even be an Australia. I don't know what all of them, because there's so many now. But yeah, they're fun.
I would give that a try. That sounds
each,
like...
Each map has its own different rules.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty cool one to me. Huh, interesting. I like that. Well, I'm a big fan of the game Clue. I like Clue a lot. I think that's a lot of fun. And I've always loved Monopoly. Monopoly is one of those games. It's more about the nostalgia it brings for me.
Okay.
It was a game that my mom and dad really loved growing up. So we as kids got to play with them, and we get to stay up late. And,
right, because the games go forever.
And we just have so many great family memories of it. My dad has always been really, really good at math. He's like a human calculator. So we always Always the banker. He's also untrustworthy. I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm joking. He's one of the most trustworthy people there is, except for when it comes to competition. He would take a $500 bill and hide it under the board.
Oh, didn't everybody do that? Hide your money so people don't know how much you have?
He was the only one in the family. Well, he would take an extra $500 bill and do this. Never won a game. Never won one.
Did you have a piece that you always had to be?
I liked being the hat. I always liked being the hat, but I was the shoe sometimes. But yeah,
I always liked being the shoe.
The problem for us is we had the project version of Monopoly where we were missing a lot of the pieces. So we literally had a bullet shell as one of our pieces and stuff, like things like that. But Monopoly was fun. We have these great memories of it, but it also could be quite the, you'd start fights sometimes and stuff. And I don't know if there is if there is a board game that has caused more inner family fights or more board games to be flipped up, and you're frustrated and you flip the board in the air. I've never actually seen somebody do that, but in movies and TV shows and stuff. I believe Monopoly is the number one cause of this.
Probably.
So that brings us to our first That Ain't Right story and our feature That Ain't Right story of the day. If all the family time over Thanksgiving made you feel like you were losing it, hopefully you didn't actually snap like this guy. Police in Oklahoma arrested a man named John Armstrong on Saturday after a family game of Monopoly turned violent.
Whoa.
The family was drinking alcohol and playing Monopoly, which, look, you shouldn't drink and drive. There's no excuse in the world to drink and drive. You shouldn't text and drink. That's another thing you shouldn't probably do.
Nope.
Not as dangerous, but you probably shouldn't do it.
Dangerous to your relationships.
Yeah. and drinking and Monopoly really do not go hand in hand together.
Probably not.
So they're drinking, they're playing Monopoly when John started fighting with his stepfather. They knocked over the game board, turned over the furniture, and then took the fight outside.
Whoa.
At some point, John was cut on the head, and he responded by pulling out a gun and chasing his stepfather around the street. He didn't fire a shot, but thankfully he aimed it at the ground when he did. And no one was hurt. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing the story if this was too bad. John was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon and was sent to Tulsa County Jail. He did not pass go or collect $200.
Accurately.
It's unclear what the fight was over or how many hours they were into the game when it happened. I do love the idea of they were just setting up. they were just setting up. They were fighting over who gets
which
to be the
piece?
Hat. Yeah.
Yep.
There's part of this, though, isn't all our faults. Monopoly also is one of those. There are certain things that every household has. Like every house has a smell. Every house has their own smell to it and everything. Every house has certain rules to it. And every house has their own rules to Monopoly. Everyone.
This is true. Yep.
I don't know. I genuinely believe that nobody in history has ever looked at the instructions to Monopoly or the rules to Monopoly. I think that we've all been just like learning from the whoever they learned from, and the people that actually wrote the rules. There's literally nothing in there. It's just a bunch of like jargon. There's nothing actually in there. It's like a Dr. Seuss novel. It's nothing.
Did your family put an extra 500 in the middle?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep. That's a pretty ubiquitous house rule. Everybody does that.
So here's another one. But I think you're right. I think everybody does it. But you can tell the poorer families, because the poorer families put a lot in that free money, like a lot in there.
Well, we put everything in there, like all the everything you had to pay out of. The cards and the chance and all of that stuff.
We did that, too. But like, you know, you like the whole you pass go, you collect $200 for us. If you landed on go, 400, like any chance.
We got 500.
OK. Oh, nice. Yeah. See, okay. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Any chance to add to the pot, like raise money, like we were doing. Inflation was not a thing in Monopoly for us. We didn't care. like the landing on go thing, that's another rule. Like there's so many little rules that every family is different per family, per household.
Yep.
So it's kind of understandable that Monopoly would cause some arguments and everything.
For sure. But to that level, that seems a little excessive.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
He was arrested.
There's certain times where, you know, the culprit is the board game. And then there's other times where it didn't matter. They could be sitting down playing Uno.
Some other issues.
Uno could have caused this one. And I'm trying to think outside of Monopoly, the board game or game that has caused maybe the most arguments or fights. And I got to think Scrabble's got to be pretty high on the list.
Probably Scrabble might be up there. I don't know. Some of them are pretty cut and dried. It's not like you can get into a fight over a poker game.
You say that, but I can remember my dad getting bent out of shape about chutes and ladders.
Okay, now that you mention it, there were some euchre games in the past that...
I don't even remember what it was about. I just remember him being very frustrated about it. And like basically being like, all right, Jimmy, we're going to go play catch. We're done booing this.
Well, to be fair to your dad, chutes and ladders is a very frustrating game because you could get booted all the way back to the beginning for what? Nothing. Landing on a square.
Candyland, another one. Candyland, another one. Like
that, when you get stuck in the swamp.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost taunting you because of like everything is done in the kanji kind of like sweet ginger, you know, friendly way. But it's not
except that licorice guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy. That guy. Yeah,
was never fair because licorice is amazing.
Yeah, true. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll take it to the top of the hour with good stuff coming up here on Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:48 on the clock. Got some good stories of the day to take us right to the top of the hour, Mel.
Alrighty.
And a couple of these come to us, the first two come to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Now, you hear me reference this all the time, thegoodnewsnetwork.org. It's not because they're paying me. Maybe they should after all this time, but no, I'm kidding. But I do want to encourage people to check out the website because while you've heard, like, by the end of the week, you'll have heard me do 4 to 5 of these stories. I'm only scratching the surface. There are tons of them there. They collect these throughout the world. They do incredibly detailed and good reporting on this. Actual reporting. I'm not talking about somebody just taking a sheet and reading from it. They hunt these things down and read and research and look into this stuff. And in this day and age, we have the certain abilities, certain options to us. You know, you don't just have to watch cable anymore or the dish. You can stream, or you don't have to just stream. You can watch cable. I mean, there's so many different ways to take options in entertainment and news. And I don't want this to sound like I'm taking a shot at the big news conglomerates or any local news stations or anything like that. They're doing what they need to get ratings, to get advertisers and all that. I don't care about their advertising. I don't care about those things. What I care about is the news. I like the news. I take the news seriously. And I am so dang sick and tired of this shock and awe news, of scaring people, of just covering horror stories, of the way we cover crime, of all these things. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it, it needs a complete readjustment. Now, that ain't probably going to happen. And if it does happen, it's probably years down the line. But right now, we can control our news. We can control how we take in news. We can control what we research. And this is why when we talk about false news or things like that, we encourage people to do their homework and research themselves. Don't just expect it to be handed to you. Information, it doesn't work that way. If important information is just being handed to you, chances are you should do some digging into that.
Yeah, double check.
And I mean that about everything. I'm not just talking about all those things. Anything I say, go ahead and double check it. I encourage you to. I want you to. And maybe you'll find out something I didn't know, or maybe you'll find out more to the story than we were able to share. And they're also very uplifting. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I need a palate cleanser every day. And these stories,
sure.
Yeah, you can relate, right? I imagine you can relate, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
So this first one, Mother's Love has granted 250,000 wishes for foster kids, and now she's surprising 9 with new cars.
Oh, wow.
Daniela Gletow is a hero. Make no mistake about it. Daniela might be the most famous foster parent of all time. 16 years ago, she became a foster mom, saying, "I wanted to be a mother to all these kids who might not feel like they have one." Within a year, she adopted one of the children, a 2-year-old baby girl. During the adoption, she found out she was pregnant. But instead of funneling her energy solely to her own family, she continued fueling her passion to help the kids in need. She set up a nonprofit, One Simple Wish, to galvanize donations from others like her who want to make an impact and bring joy to foster youth. Incredibly, over the next 15 years, One Simple Wish collected over $15 million to grant requests for over 250,000 kids and young adults impacted by foster care.
Oh, wow.
Wishes range from laptops and sports equipment to art supplies and music lessons, even travel expenses for an aspiring model to fulfill her dreams in a New York Fashion Week. Now, to mark the National Adoption Month, Gletow and her team gave 9 new cars to deserving adults who, in their youth, were impacted by the child welfare system.
Wow.
They flew all the winners to New York City under the guise of a foster care conference, just so that they could surprise each one with keys to a new car, along with a year's worth of insurance and gas.
Oh, my. Wow. That's awesome.
Now, I want everybody to do a little little experiment here. This story, coming from the Good News Network, was just, let me see, this came out on November 27th, so it's been out in the news cycle for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody hear about this young lady? Or I shouldn't say young lady, she's probably my age, but this wonderful lady. Has anybody heard of Daniela Gletow? Anybody?
Nope.
Why is this not being covered? I'm not saying it's groundbreaking news that every single American needs to know, but isn't 90% of the stuff we see on news isn't that. Half the things they put on there isn't that. What would be the harm in including a great American like Daniel Gletow into our news cycle?
Mm-hmm.
The point of news is to share information, right? Get information out there. Sometimes it's to inspire. How inspiring is this woman?
That's pretty awesome.
She should be a household name.
Yep.
We should know more about her than I do insert celebrity name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Another person that we should be a household name. A young man who started a window washing business has been cleaning road signs for free in his spare time to give back to his community.
Oh.
Liam Wildish, great name, great name. Liam Wildish, that's a good name. He started scrubbing signs in England, in Maidstone, Stone, England, earlier this year after launching his new window service. And he's already become a notable local hero. Some of the signs in Maidstone are in terrible condition, so when I pass them, I pull up and give them a cleanup, the 25-year-old said. I like to think it makes a difference to the appearance of the area and hopefully improves road safety during these long winter nights.
Yeah.
The young man from Nottinghamshire makes himself noticeable, always dressing in a red cap and in his bright blue company jacket, and his Facebook posts are including strangers saying they spotted him. But he makes sure that people can see him so he doesn't cause an accident or anything like that.
Or get hit.
But he's inspired many other people, including many young people, to do similar things in their towns in their neck of the woods in England.
That's awesome.
It's a really cool story. And again, 26 years old. Nobody asked him to do this. This wasn't a court-appointed thing. Nothing like that. Just young people stepping up and doing good.
Seeing what needs to be done and taking care of it. That's awesome.
This younger generation, they're not like just sitting back and, you know, well, I'm going to research. I'm going to find out how I can, you know, I mean, they're doing these things, but they're going to action right away.
Right.
They're just doing stuff.
There's no time to wait for them, especially.
I think every generation has people like this, but man, this generation, they just got an abundance of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so cool to see.
Yes.
And some other good stories of the day, just kind of quickly go through some of these. A 105-year-old woman in Cherryville, North Carolina, named Laureen Summy, just had her first birthday party this month. She'd never had one until now, so her senior living center went big and line dancers and a pony and a visit from the mayor. She was also hoping to get 105 birthday cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that seems pretty...
That's a lot of birthday cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 105 years old, I could see why she would want that, but that's kind of a stretch. That's a lot to ask for. Well, she ended up with 1,200 of them.
Overshot that just a little bit.
And this detail's fun, too. She's currently dating a guy named Joseph, who's only 66 years old.
Whoa.
Hey,
Cougar.
Now. Hey.
Yeah.
All right. Lorraine is not only my hero because of so many things, but I appreciate that out of her. Good on you, Lorraine.
Nice.
Flip the script. I mean, we just make no bones about it if an older man is dating a younger woman. I said, Lorraine, we need more of this. That's great. Nicely done, Lorraine. And a Florida cop who doesn't know how to swim jumped into a retention pond in Jacksonville to save a drowning baby.
Oh, my.
This happened in June, but her body cam footage was just released. She pulled him out, did CPR until a cop took over. The video stops at that point, but the kid eventually started breathing again. There is a little bit of swearing if you do watch. There's the S word in it, understandably.
It's a pretty tense situation.
I actually think it's pretty like noteworthy that that's the only swear word that was in that. But,
man,
if you get a chance to watch this video... These dash cam things that are, I'm sorry, these chest cam videos, body cam are obviously, you know, important for a lot of, you know, recent stories and news. And those I'm not making light of or anything. But I think one of the cool things to come out of this is we're seeing a lot more empathy towards our police force and towards EMTs and firefighters because of these things, because people are literally in the point of view of this situation.
Right. They're actually understanding what they go through.
Any chance to create a little more empathy in our society for things like this, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone the accountability and everything else that comes with it, of course.
Yes.
And a 26-year-old cat in the UK named Flozy. Great name for a cat, Flozy. Yeah. I don't know why I like that. Flozy is now the oldest living cat in the world.
Aw, congratulations, Flozy.
According to Guinness, she was born on December 29th, 1995, so her 27th birthday is 1 month from today. We wish her
That's
a very happy
old
birthday.
That's pretty old for a cat, yeah.
Now, at that age, you're still enjoying catnip, or has it like, kind of run its course?
You good now?
You know, I don't know if it still hits you the same, you know? I'm not sure. You gotta wonder. I can't think of many ways to celebrate a 100th birthday or you know, in the equivalent of that for a cat, basically.
Right.
So we started talking about a wonderful lady celebrating her 105th birthday and this cat celebrating its 27th.
Is there cat years equivalent to human years? Like dog years is what, 7?
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I don't know. And we got Katrina Hittner coming in tomorrow. Looking forward to that. That's certainly a good story, as we always enjoy our co-hosts. Something that Katrina brought up about having a quote of the day, I thought we'd wrap up on, Melissa.
Okay.
Dreams are the seeds of change. Nothing ever grows without a seed, and nothing ever changes without a dream. Debbie Boone.
Oh, that's good.
That's a darn good one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are also our good story of the day. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for listening. Spread the word about all of our original content here at Civic Media, WFHR. Yeah. Download the Civic Media app. Tell everybody that you know that we're streaming 24/7. Take a listen, enjoy, and thank you so much for contributing to local radio. Appreciate every one of you. Mel, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James. Good show.
Yeah, great show. We'll talk again. We got Seth and you. We got you on Friday. We got you guys.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Talk then. You have a good day.
All right. You too.
Stick around for Morning Magazine, everybody, coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.